Hello, everyone. Boy, have we got a story for you today. We are speaking with special guests Dr. Bart McRoberts and his wife, Janet McRoberts. They are both West Vancouverites. They both own their own businesses. Some of you may know Dr. Bart McRoberts as an optometrist. He has his own practice here. And of course, Janet, you're an accountant with your own business as well. Now, not so long ago, they were planning the trip of a lifetime. Imagine this, a dream cruise around South America. This was going to be a couple of weeks, a magical vacation. They'd been planning for it for a long time. And then guess what? Bang! COVID-19 struck and they were left stranded, which started a whole new adventure. And it's where our story starts today. I want to thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Kat.
Thanks very much.
Now, everybody wants a little bit of adventure, I guess, but you had no idea this was going to happen. This was back in February. There wasn't even a whisper of danger or COVID at that time. If there was, it was very slight, and there was no reason why you shouldn't go. So, Janet, tell us a little bit about the itinerary you were planning.
Well, we booked it a year ahead, so in about February of 2019, we found this fabulous cruise to South America through a company called Dr. Travel, so Bart was able to get some continuing education on our sea days, and it started in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We did a pre-cruise tour of the Iguazu Falls, which were fabulous. And then we went on to Uruguay, Falkland Islands, around the Cape Horn, Tierra del Fuego, and finally ending up in Santiago, Chile. And then we had a post-excursion tour booked to Machu Picchu at the end of the cruise.
Now, Machu Picchu is one of the most magical places on the earth, and that was going to be one of the best ways to end your cruise. However, Dr. Bart, tell us when you realized that maybe this wasn't going to be the happy ending you had planned for.
Well, when we got off the cruise ship, there was a little bit of waffling. Oh, should we go on the post-cruise trip or shouldn't we? But I think in all of Peru, at that point, they had found 7 cases of COVID. There was just nothing on the radar at all. So it was a group of about 20 optometrists and dentists. And we said, oh, well, let's go and do it. And so we flew up to Peru and quite an elevation. I think we flew right into Cuzco. And that's where we sort of took off from there. Everything was fine, lovely hotel. We took our first trip to Sacred Valley, beautiful. The problem was it's all at 11,500 feet. And if you're used to living at sea level, like most of us are, that's a challenge.
So you didn't know what was hitting you at the time, because the altitude presents a bit of a problem, and you're starting to hear a little rumor now, because it's a couple weeks later, and you also flew into the one country that I remember was among the first to start reporting that people were becoming stranded. It was bad. So here you are in Peru, and it literally happened overnight. All of a sudden, no flights. So you had to decide pretty fast. You had to move pretty fast. And tell us this part. You literally missed getting home by a matter of mere hours. Janet, tell us a little bit about this part.
March 16th, and that was our last day of our tour, and we were heading to Machu Picchu that morning. So at 6 a.m., we went out and got on our bus, and our tour guide said, we're heading back to Cuzco, because we have to try and get you on flights out of here today because they're closing the borders at 11 p.m. tonight. We were due to fly out the next day, March 18th, at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
So we headed back to Cuzco. We stood in line outside the gates of the Cuzco airport for about 3 or 4 hours. They could not get us on flights. Everything was jammed. So we ended up having to go back to the hotel we had originally planned on staying at that last night in Cuzco. And we ended up being there for another 2.5 weeks.
So here you are. You've missed your trip to Machu Picchu. You are now desperately trying to get on a flight home. You don't even realize at the time that you're probably going to be stuck here now for what ended up being another 2 weeks. And things are probably feeling a little scary. I imagine you're feeling very, very anxious. I can't even imagine what this must be like. Dr. Bart, tell us, if you will, what kind of feelings were going around in your head at that moment?
Well, it was very disappointing not getting on a plane, but when I saw the army there with the machine guns and so on, I thought, I don't really want to fool with them. I think I'll just very peacefully go back to the hotel. We were given a choice there. I think it was a Hilton. You can either stay 2 nights or 2 weeks. So we took the 2 weeks. And initially it was just fine. The food was quite good. But gradually they started running out of food. They shut the bar, by the way. But it was close to 3 weeks before we got out of there. But because of the elevation, I couldn't eat a meal for 3 weeks. So, the lower oxygen, and I sort of thought back. It was a patient of mine told me, oh, you know, so-and-so, who's a patient here? Yeah, he went down to Cusco to do the Machu Picchu thing, and he had a heart attack and died.
So you're now dealing with the seriousness of COVID and this extremely serious altitude sickness condition.
Yeah, you just feel worse and worse and worse. You've got no energy at all. You got no appetite at all. And it's probably the worst thing I've ever run across was the altitude sickness.
Yeah, we were confined to the hotel. Unless we had to go out for food or drinks or medication. And only one of us could go at a time. So we teamed up with other members of our tour so that one spouse from each party would go and they could go together. But Bart and I were not allowed to go out together after the first day. We did go together the first day because I had to get some medications. I did manage to get some canisters of oxygen for Bart so that he could puff on some fresh air, so to speak, while we were stranded there. And we did have an outside courtyard in the hotel, which was really a lifesaver for us.
This is sounding just so awful. I can't even imagine what this is like. You're sick, you're stuck, you're stranded, you're running out of food, you're running out of oxygen. I've heard from other folks who were stuck on their cruise ships for a little while, and they describe that as being in jail. I can't imagine what you're feeling with this. You're worried when you're going to get out. You're worried about things back home. Did you have you're 2 weeks in, and you're probably really beginning to wonder when this is going to end. Did they give you any indication of how they were going to get you out?
Well, there's a problem with flying out of Cusco because regular pilots and planes can't go in there because of the altitude. So there's very few airlines licensed to go in and out of there. So we couldn't go from Cusco back to Canada. We had to go to a main airport from there. But it was very difficult coordinating it. The government was trying to, I guess, arrange planes to take people out. So that was done by internet. So here's a number. You got a number. You can book onto a flight with this. Well, the internet at our hotel was so slow that by the time we would connect with anything, the flights would be all booked up. So this happened a couple of times before we could finally even make connection to get onto anything.
So my goodness.
It's a difficult place to get out of. To drive out of there, well, they wouldn't let you anyway. But
goodness me.
It's a 23-hour drive from Cusco to Lima.
Yeah.
So, 23 hours, 3 weeks in a hotel. I can't imagine just how difficult this is. But okay, so there's a little bit of hope on the horizon now. You're finally getting on the little plane. You're heading to Lima. What was waiting in Lima? Do tell.
Well, we were sort of getting a little bit excited by then, thinking, well, maybe we'll actually get out of here. The Air Canada plane finally came, and they took people off the Avianca, I think, off of the smaller planes, and then we were able to get on the Air Canada 777. And there was, I guess, a full load of 420 people, I think. And but anyway,
we were on the fifth repatriation flight out of Peru to Canada. The first week we were able to book onto. They didn't know if there were going to be flights the next week. Thank goodness there were, and we got out the following Thursday then.
So Janet, you're on the flight now. You're feeling a little bit of relief. You're feeling okay. We're getting out of here, but you've got another problem brewing. You are now on a big plane with people coming from all different kinds of regions. There's another possible problem waiting on that plane, and of course, we are talking about the coronavirus. So you're feeling good, but.
Yeah, we were all masked on the plane on the way home, which was good. But yeah, there was over 400 people on the flight. But just seeing that Air Canada jet land, and they had flags and welcome home signs, it was very emotional.
That must have felt so good at the time to be back home on Canadian soil. Now you're at home, but you've got to isolate now for 14 days. You've got to get better. You've got to recover from altitude sickness. How did it feel when you were back home? Did you start to feel better immediately?
I feel great.
Sea level.
Get me back to sea level, and yeah.
It was largely Americans that we were traveling with, optometrists and dentists. So a lot of them flew home through Miami. There was one other Canadian couple with us from Ottawa, a dentist and his wife, and I think we've become lifelong friends.
Well, I guess you're supposed to bring home memories and new friends from a trip, but these memories and these friends are undoubtedly going to be extra special for you. So let me ask you, you didn't get to go to Machu Picchu, I have to say. What's your next trip, and are you anxious to go back?
No. The Peruvians were wonderful people, very, very nice, you know, but I'm not going to go back to that altitude ever again, thank you.
I can only imagine. Now, you obviously had a nice trip prior to all this happening. Is there any good points that stuck out for you? Were there any favorite parts that you enjoyed? Obviously more than the ending. Tell us a little bit about the fun elements.
Yeah, I don't want to be all negative because there's a lot of really wonderful stuff in South America. One thing that really surprised me was Uruguay. Who knew? What a lovely country that was. And the Falkland Islands, fabulous tour around there, and seeing all the penguins. Going way down south as far as we did. So there was a lot of really tremendous stuff.
Well, you actually traveled around the Cape, Cape Horn, which is known for its big waves. There's actually even a monument down there dedicated to the explorers and seafarers who actually perished in that body of water around the bottom of South America. You were probably looking forward to that being the most adventurous part of the trip.
Well, I thought so, and I sort of thought, this is how my great-grandfather must have come to Vancouver.
Wow!
Around 1903, I think he came around by ship. So I thought, wow, this is pretty neat.
We were lucky with the weather, though. It was fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Cruise ship people, they were fantastic, too. And,
they did a fabulous job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you're back and you're well and you're safe. And my goodness, the trip of a lifetime has turned into a lifetime now of stories that you will get to tell. So I can't thank you both enough for joining us today and sharing that amazing story. This, of course, Janet and Dr. Bart McRoberts. We have lots more stories coming up for you in future podcasts. So to everybody, thank you for joining us today. I hope you will stay in touch and save me a smile.